Welcome to the God is a Geek podcast, your weekly ever-present chat about video game reviews, previews, news. Yes, I said news. We're bringing it back one time episode, one time special only. I'm your host, Adam Cook, and joining me is Christopher White.
Hello.
Excited about news?
I am ecstatic, mate.
Okay.
Yeah.
I wasn't expecting that reaction. How are you otherwise, mate? You okay?
Yeah, no, I'm fine, mate. All good.
Okay. Plenty to play at the moment. There's that to be said. Adam Carroll, plenty to play at the moment. How are you?
I am good. I couldn't find my favourite coffee cup, though, so that was a bit of a...
Oh.
Do you ever have things like that? Do you ever have, like, just small things?
Can't find them?
Yeah, like, it's in your routine. It's like, where's my cup? Where's my cup gone? There's about fucking 50 other cups right there, but where's my cup? Do you know?
I have a selection of cups that I like.
Yes, same. I have like three or four. I quite like, here's a little one for you, little bit of Adam Cook trivia, I quite like a video game mug. Like them. I've got a nice Pez one. I've got, that's been hit so hard over the years, it's just a white mug now, it's all sort of... dishwashered off. I've got a Fallout one, which I think people have seen. I was abused for spending £10 on a mug. But I've got, what else have I got? I've got a couple, and I quite like them.
The one I
quite like a themed mug, a game themed mug. But they have to be good ones, not just any old one.
I don't have many themed mugs as such, but I have a Star Wars one. I think everyone has a Star Wars one or something. But the one I have, it just has every lightsaber on it, and when it gets hot, the lightsaber colours come up.
Ooh.
It's really entertaining.
Now you see, I had one of those that was my favourite mug, because once upon a time, Nintendo used to send out goodies quite often in the post to press, and they used to do like Valentine stuff, and once they sent out a mug that had, you know, the Zelda hearts, and as you warmed the cup, the hearts would replenish.
Oh, nice.
But the dishwasher destroyed that as well, you see. So don't dishwash any mugs you care about, kids. That's the thing. You know, make sure you just, you know, we should be washing a lot anyway, so wash your hands plenty and wash your mugs as well. Important key tip for you there. Lots of games to talk about. Sorry, Adam, did you didn't find it, the mug?
No, I didn't find my mug, so I'm kind of a bit off right now at the moment, but I'm sure it'll appear. It's a lovely pottery little mug. But you know what? Do you know what's the difficult part of it? There's no handle on it. So it's a bit
really a mug, then, is it? It's just that's just a jar you're drinking out of, isn't it?
Well, no, it's like a pottery looking cup, and it's just really nice looking.
You're describing a jar.
Well, it's a very fucking small jar. Like, if this is the jar we're talking about.
A jar or a pot. You're just describing a china pot.
Well, it's a tiny little
and calling it a mug.
Ah, right. Well, it's a small jar. Let's call it that then. And
let's call it that.
Let's definitely call it
a small jar.
There's no handle on it, and it's a bit of a task to drink because my hands will be burning.
Yeah, because it's not a mug. Because it's not a mug. Mugs don't. You don't
lay off my mug.
I'm gonna. I won't touch it. It'll burn my hands. Yeah. This time last week, depending on if you're a Patreon supporter or not, because obviously that podcast goes to early to them. And quick plug, patreon.com/godisgeek, get the podcast early. You get an episode of Fork Off every 2 weeks, which is our food podcast, exclusive to Patreon. Last week, I had a lot to say about Final Fantasy VII Remake, and I said that next time we spoke, I would have finished it. I have finished it. I do have a lot more to say about it. But I don't know if I can talk around. But I think we may have to do a spoiler cast for that.
What is your, like, you came into this? I think the last time you were speaking about it, you were beaming. You were just, don't be giving away this kind of thing. Well, how are you feeling now? Like, really?
I finished it. And the next whole 24 hours, I felt really down about it, really down. I just don't know how to explain why without... I don't want to... I'll just say I didn't like how it ended. And that's not a spoiler, because everyone who's played the game originally will have an inclination of the story. I now have a better handle on why I think this is not a... This is like a multi-part game, you know, like you're going to get 7-2 and 7-3. I think I get why they're doing that, and it's not for the reasons I thought it was, and that's disappointing. it's really difficult to explain why I think a spoiler cast might be necessary, but I am really... I mean, to the point where I won't say I didn't enjoy it, because I did. Like, I wouldn't have kept playing it. I loved it. I still would have given it a good score. Like, Mick gave it 9 out of 10. I'd have gone, I think, there, or maybe 8.5. I think it jumps the shark at the end, which is not a thing I say lightly. I think it extends some scenes that didn't need to be extended and doesn't do them very well. I think the best thing about this game is the combat. The combat's just superb. I probably sound quite down in my voice, but that's because, you know, we are talking... still a very, very, very good game. But I came away from it, and I said this to Mick in a text, that I don't think I really am that fussed about Part 2.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
That's a statement.
But I can't really go in... But I can't go into why without spoiling. So I just... What I would say is, I guess we'll throw it over to you, Adam and Chris, because you obviously... Chris had played some already, but Adam, yeah, you've started it.
Yeah, I've just started out. I'd say, Chris, you're well ahead of me, so I think, like, where are you... How are you feeling right now with it?
I'm still enjoying it. I've not got the ties that Adam has, but as a game... Say I'd never played the original, and I'm going into this. It's better... I enjoy it more than Final Fantasy XV. I like the combat is phenomenal. The characters.
Can I just say on that note, actually, Chris, this is the best combat Final Fantasy has had for me probably since 7. So that's how good I think the combat is the best.
It's
probably the best Final Fantasy has been since 12. I would say probably the game, the overall game. You know, like, it's probably the best Final Fantasy in well over a decade.
Yeah. I cut, like, the story at the minute is fine. Like, it's okay.
What chapter are you in, Chris, by the way?
I haven't played since last week, so.
Ah, okay, fair play.
So it's kind of the little things that bug me about it, like some of the dialogue and some of, like, tropes of that kind of genre just kind of happen a bit too much, like the way they interact and stuff, and like the I can't remember his name, but the big lad, he winds
Barrett.
Me up. No, the the chubby dude,
Wedge,
yeah.
Oh, Wedge,
yeah. He gets on my nerves a bit. It's like the constant, like, grunting and sighing and stuff that they all do in these games, and it's just like they have a conversation with grunts. It just bugs me. But, like, that's minuscule in terms of, like, the visuals are stunning. It's a good game, and I'm not down on it at all. It's just a good game. It's a great game, Eric. So
I really am, like, they changed. I guess that's the way I could say it without spoiling it, because I'm not being specific. They changed stuff. And some of the stuff they show near the end is very specific to, like, fan servicey stuff, but I didn't like it. And it's fan servicey in a way that I actually was there thinking, if I hadn't played the original, I would not have a fucking clue what was going on right now. And they said this
by the end, or, like, from the get-go?
No, in the last few hours, the way that it gets, obviously, you know, because it's, you know, a game, when they end, they always get quite story heavy because they have to wrap up, don't they? But, like, I read an interview or a statement where they said this is, like, oh, no, this is for newcomers as well. And it's like, I'm telling you now, lads, if you had not played 7 through to the end, there are parts in the closing hours of this game where you would just not have a single clue what was going on.
That was
going
to happen. Like, I don't think that's a real surprise.
I can't say why, because I want you to
experience it.
You have to trust me. There are they show stuff that they shouldn't show, that didn't happen.
Yeah.
And this is... All I'll say is this game is called Final Fantasy VII Remake, right? Okay? And all the while, I thought the reason it was called Remake is because it is a remake of Final Fantasy VII. Would you agree that is a fair thing to think?
Yes.
That is not why I think this game is called Remake anymore. And I will say no more than that until you've finished it and we can talk openly.
Okay, well, like...
But you go for
yeah,
it.
Yeah, so
it.
Straight
sorry.
Off.
Sorry. Negative Nancy. I'm sorry.
It arrived and I kind of started shaking with excitement. put it into the PlayStation, and honestly, it took a long time to install, lads. That game takes a long time to install,
90 gig.
And my patience was wearing thin because I just wanted to jump straight in. But anyway, look, so I didn't play the demo. I only watched the demo be played because I just wanted to keep the actual gameplay feel because I knew it was going to be such a change. I wanted to keep that to myself when I got the full game. So, I'm still early doors because as of recording, I only got this game yesterday. And I'm throwing my cards out there early, and I'm going to say, as of right now, where I'm at, what I've seen and what I have done, I haven't really had this feeling of video game in my life since Breath of the Wild. Now, that is solely because of my love for Final Fantasy anyway, especially 7.
Now, I will say I won't disagree with you based on what you... I have to say, genuinely, we are talking the last 5 hours of a 36-hour game for me. The rest of it, I am totally with you. It is just... The soundtrack. If this doesn't win Best Soundtrack for us...
Yeah.
I don't know. I just don't know
what
the
soundtrack is... It's insanely good. It's insanely good, right? But then, when I got my... I don't know, just when they all arrive at the beginning and stuff, and we've all, people have seen that scene, they've probably played the demo, all that stuff, right?
It is moment after moment,
beat for beat, the musical cues, where the characters are going, they're splitting up, and what's going to happen, and what boss encounter we're going to have. When you know it, you know it, and it's just, you're just excited for it all to happen in this remake. The combat, straight off, I was kind of like, oh, whoa, whoa, whoa. I was like, this is, what's happening? I was pressing all the wrong buttons first off. Because it's just like, okay, there's a bit to this. There's a small bit to this here. And I imagine it's going to get a lot deeper with mixing up your parties and stuff. But the combat is unbelievable. What I thought this was going to be was a kind of a rehash of 15. Just a bit more polished. It is so much more. It is so much more because using the slowdown time when you're going into your commands and stuff, that always feels unreal. And I think using that at the right time, whether it's to use a potion or heal your party member or just any, it's very crucial. It's very smart how that is done. I'm going to be kind of jumping from bit to bit here now because, as I said, it's only within the last 24 hours that I'm trying to think of all these things that are so overwhelmingly good to me. I think, you were saying the dialogue, Chris, you're spot on with it. But I'm kind of, personally just used to that in these kind of games. No, I don't think 7 is the worst of this kind of genre of games in terms of dialogue, but there is some things that are just a bit cheesy or a bit corny, and the grunting and all that jazz. But I love the use of the dialogue from everyone else that's living in this world, the text coming up at the side and stuff.
A lot of it, the text on the side, I was at one point I wondered if I could turn that off because there's so much of it that it kind of takes up a lot of screen real estate, doesn't it? I never did because it never seemed to do it enough or it didn't bother me.
There is so much, but then what I will say, because I did think that straight away, I was like, oh, I don't know how I'll feel about this, because you know the way you can toggle the map on and off as well?
Yeah.
I was kind of like, do I want the map off? Do I want it on? Do I want this text on all the time? Whatever.
You want the map
but on. The thing was, there's no way you can just focus on that text, right? I think...
No,
what that's
too quick.
What that's great for doing, what that's great for is when I'm running around the place and so many people are talking, I did hear something between a couple when I just arrived to the slums and stuff. There was this couple who got off the train and met each other, and they said this interaction, which I won't say, but it was just a small, and I go, did I just hear that correctly? And I was able to read the thing then and go, I did hear that. That's great. Then I just found the use of that there and then for me. I think the opening hours as well, and I only said this to you in a message a while ago, Ed, but the when the explosion happens, I don't think I ever realized how serious this was to the human race living in this world.
Yeah.
As it comes across in this remake. Because when you play the original, it's just like, oh yeah, you just feel like, you know, these lads are great, they're just saving the world. Yeah. And then they are doing the same thing here, but then you see this side of it, and you see these bunch of innocent people going on their day to day, and like this disaster happens, they don't know what it is, they don't know, they just see avalanches, terrorists, like this is all stuff that's in the original anyway, and we know this.
There's a lot more people exist than just you and Shinra.
And it delivers this emotion that I've never witnessed in Final Fantasy VII, no matter how many times I've played it. And this is within the first 3 hours, two hours even, you'll witness all this kind of situation.
Yep.
So that was really amazing. I think this game looks unbelievable. Except for sometimes the mouth on everyone is a bit weird. When they speak,
okay,
the mouse animations are just a bit weird. I don't know, it's very bizarre to describe, but you don't really notice all the time unless it's up really close. But like, for the most part, this game looks unreal. I think I just love everything about how it looks, how it's playing so far, the music. I'm checking every corner that I can go to and opening whatever chests I can find. And that's really all I can say right now. Like, I've gotten to the slums, all right, and I've been walking around and I've done a few bits and bobs there, but I still have a lot to discover. I will say, right, definitely in this Final Fantasy, the cutscenes and interactions between characters have never been more real. In a more believable form. I think, like, the way each character's looking at each other and stuff like that, it's all just like, if you take 15, for example, you don't get these kind of elements. Like, 7 is so much more already. And this is coming from somebody who does like 15. So take that for what you want. But like, I think this is delivering so much. And when everyone was like under Animal Crossing buzz, and still are, I get all that. But right now, for me, in this current situation of the world, this is what I've wanted. This exact game. I was so worried that like it wasn't going to work for me. I didn't know how they were going to achieve this. And yes, I know what you said, Ed, you know, at the end, the last 5 hours or whatever. Like, who knows? I mightn't think that. I don't know, but I also might. But...
I mean, don't get me wrong, I'm desperate. Like, only Mick and I have been at a chat, obviously, because we've both finished it. I'm kind of desperate to discuss this with someone I know who has finished it, because there are elements of the... So, you know, when you reflect on a really big game that, you know, like with God of War, for example, when we were reflecting on it, nothing ever came to light. It was just a constant reflection of, this is just incredible. Mm. Whereas the more distance I have from finishing this, the more I get angry by some stuff. Like I text you about summons.
Yeah.
So for example, and that's not like a massive negative, because it's kind of obvious they were going to do this, because this is what they do now. But one of the coolest things about 7 and 8 and I think 9 and I think 10 was that I love summons. They felt like this insane thing that, you know, you could, it was, they just appeared, they did their big thing, and then they buggered off again. Like, the way they do summons in this and the way they did them in 15, I don't care for it very much. I think they, especially in 7 remake, those set summons are so underdone in this game, and yet in the original they felt like such a huge part of 7. But that's not a major thing. Yeah. Modernized it, I just, not in a way I like, but it is genuinely more the way this story ends.
Yeah.
Because more than anything, right, there is a point where it's like, if the game ends right now, there is plenty of padding, but this ending makes sense and I would feel right. And I actually sort of sat back and put the controller down. It so much felt like this is the end of Remake 1. And then it carries on after that, and I was like, oh, and everything from there to the end to me was just, and I don't say this lightly, just horseshit. Like, really upsettingly nonsense Kingdom Hearts bullshit.
See, I've heard this Kingdom Hearts reference being thrown around regarding what you're talking about, and some of the side quests being a bit of filler as well.
Yeah, but you don't have to do the side quests, to be fair. Like, I know, and I did, but I'm not going to sit here and go, oh, the side quests are bad.
But how, when like, you're saying Kingdom Hearts, though, like look, I just don't like Kingdom Hearts.
Story doesn't make any sense. No, I mean, like, you can come in here, right? Because, like, Chris, you've played the Kingdom Hearts games, and while there is plenty to like about them, Nomura's stories are generally not very good. Like, they are garbled, they are twist round themselves too much.
You say,
and with,
go on, I was just going to say, like, you're saying about the ending, like, you get to a point where it naturally feels like it ends and then it carries on. That's what Kingdom Hearts 3 did, especially.
Yeah, where, this is what I'm saying, this is what Nomura does. He does this. Like, it's almost like someone else wrote it and then he went, no, let's add this. And that's how Remake feels to me. Like, they get to a point where you feel like, actually, while I appreciate this is not an ending, it is the only ending that would make sense for a remake that is part one. And then they go beyond that and it just descends into just, like, imagine, like, Final Fantasy VII is quite anime anyway, but it goes so far beyond that into just proper, ridiculous Kingdom Hearts style, doesn't really make sense, doesn't explain itself, goes more confusing, doesn't care about which audience it's speaking to anymore. You know, it really left me feeling like, oh, I see now, I get it. And not in a way of, oh, I get it, I understand the story, but in a, oh, I get where this is going to go now, and I think it left me feeling like, now I'm out, thanks.
Yeah, I mean, I'm interested because, like, as it stands, even, like, I've had a few cases where Cloud has had flashbacks and stuff, and it's done very... Like, I'm like, ooh, what's all this? Like, you know, look at all these things and stuff. There's a lot of that kind of stuff going on already that if you asked me now, right now, what way they should end it or how they should end one after knowing the original game itself, I wouldn't know where. Like,
see, from the very start point, I had my feelings of where it should be. Like, it's when they escape Shinra on the motorbikes. That should be the natural end point. If you're not going to leave Midgar, that's the end point of number one.
Hmm. Yeah.
And what I would say is I felt for 30 hours, this is my remake. This is the remake I dreamt of. And when I actually saw credits, I realised this remake is not my remake at all. It never was. I was hoodwinked for 30 hours and then... two fingers went up at me. That's how I felt. And that's not to say it won't be my game of the year, because it definitely will be, because even those 30 hours, giving me 30 hours of my favourite game of all time in this style, was enough.
There is,
but to come so close and flick the V's at me felt... I don't know.
Yeah, I can respect it. Obviously, I can't.
This is the thing. You'll see.
Knowing that the way I'm feeling right now is how you did feel.
It was game of the year for 15 plus hours where I was like, there's nothing going to touch this. There's nothing going to come close to this. For a long time, I felt that way.
Okay.
It just... Yeah. I can't say anymore. I've talked around it as best I can.
Well,
I can't say anymore.
As it stands, like, I don't know where people are who are listening to this and what they're... if they've gotten their copy or if they're getting it digital or what, because there's a lot of people who are just after getting it at random times. But I'm just really glad that this kind of situation is here right now, because I just think with the legacy that this game is, I love this kind of discussion. I just love, and I love to go...
And let's face it, what better of a game could there be when you are literally not allowed to leave the house, you know?
Yeah, like this, and I know, like, that situation just sucks completely right now. But, like, as I said, like, people have their Animal Crossings, and I love seeing people, like, just escape from all the shit right now and just enjoy that. I started this yesterday, and I was here playing it, and then I was about to go to bed, and I went, fuck, I'll jump in for another hour. Jumped in for another hour, I saved it, I went, right, I'll go to bed now, and then I went to bed and listened to the original soundtrack going to sleep. Like, so I'm kind of just so happy right now, and it's like, considering I wouldn't say a gaming lull, but it's just very hard to put your mind to something that you love to take your mind off of what's going on. and I'm doing whatever I can. Everyone's doing what they can, but Final Fantasy VII, as it stands, for the time I was playing, I was thinking of nothing else but this, and I was so excited. My heart was racing. I was just, all I wanted to do was text people, but I was like, it's 2 o'clock in the morning, I'll fucking wake someone up. But yeah, so far so good, and I cannot wait to play more and talk a bit more. But before we move on, well, we are moving on, can I just mention Resident Evil 3?
Yeah, I keep staring at that. I keep thinking, because I keep hearing random sort of times. Like, I know Chris took him 7 hours to finish.
Yeah.
And I think you're going to tell us, Adam, but I keep hearing, like, quite a lot of people, some people saying it's like 9, some people saying it's 4. And the more I hear it's shorter, I keep thinking, well, I could actually, I mean, I'm 45 to an hour in. Yeah. So I could blast it.
So I didn't think I was going to play this. I don't know, like, we discussed this about being in the mood to play this kind of game right now. Chris, you gave it the 9 out of 10. I think I completely agree.
Really?
I loved it. I loved Resi 3. I did not think that this was going to be the case. I finished it in 2 sittings. Taking it very slow, to be honest. Like, no, here's the thing as well, right? Resi 3 is a short game.
It always was.
It was. It is a short game. So this criticism of people going, oh, so what the fuck did you want them to do? It's
so here's the thing, right? I think the reason that it's upsetting people is because, yes, it's short, but when you finish it, there's no mercenaries or anything. Instead, you've got this resistance, which it really seems like nobody is the least bit interested in resistance. And that's the, you know, you spend whatever on a game, that's the thing that's supposedly to keep you coming back. So it, I think, I'm guessing the complaint is that, yeah, okay, it's short, but where's the mercenaries mode we would normally get?
Yeah,
you know?
Like, I think for some reason, like is the price a bit much for it? I don't know. Like, I don't really think so, if I'm brutally honest.
Is it full price?
It is full price.
Okay.
Like, it's €60 here anyway for me, but like,
I mean, it is a high budget, you know, the production values
production
of that
value's
game.
The there, and like, you know,
they are definitely
the voice
there.
Acting and all that kind of stuff is in play, and like, and there is different mechanics. Here's the thing, right? I went in going, let's see how this goes, right? I'm a big fan of this. I had to think about this long and hard. But I think I prefer this to the Resi 2 remake.
Yeah, same.
Now,
wow.
Yeah, I think I do. And
okay,
saying that is because, like, what they have done with these remakes are fantastic. I think the visuals, all that stuff, we all know, we discussed it, the RE engine, it's great. For me, Resi 2 is the superior game when it comes to, like, the story and the character arcs and whatever, right? And I think when you play the original, the visuals also are what makes that actual game the classic that it is. The remake comes along, it takes all these bits and bobs, and it's like, yeah, this is fantastic. But when I reflect, when I always reflect on the remake of 2, as much as I loved it, I really don't like the sewers sections. I think it's drawn out. I think it's like,
yep,
it's,
that's fair.
It's.
There's always a bit in a Resi game. For me, like Resident Evil 7, it was the final bit.
Yeah,
like, you know, the house bit and the boat bit, amazing. The end bit, you know, there's always this Resi games always seem to have a bit. And yeah, I'm with you, the sewers.
So the sewers and stuff. It's drawn out for me. And like, it takes a long time in the sewers in 2. If I'm brutal, because it's pausing back and forth.
A lot of running back and forth.
I know that's the game, but the thing is, when I played the original, what I love the original so much for is, like, because of the visuals that are in place, the colours, everything is just, it's just nostalgia. I just know it so well. Every colour palette is just embedded in my brain. So the remake of 2 is like, okay, like, if I had a choice, I'd still pick the original of 2. That's just my thing, right?
Wow.
But with 3, when you think it's going to drag something out, it just doesn't. Now, you can either enjoy that or not, but I thoroughly enjoyed that. I was like,
I really thought you were going to come here and say, Chris, I completely disagree. Not this.
No, I'm completely, like, I don't know why.
Wow.
I'm going in with that attitude, because maybe it felt like, oh, they're just taking the engine, taking the template, and just, there's Resi 3. But I think there are moments in this one that, even though, like, Resi 4 created the likes of Uncharted and influenced all these kind of things, like Dead Space and everything like that, there's moments in 3 that makes it feel like an Uncharted game in its cutscenes and, like, what you do. I think Nemesis, even though he's not as scary, I don't think he's as scary as the Titan, or Mr. X, whatever you want to call him. I don't think he's as scary as him in this, because 3 is just, the remake of 3 is very much more, like, action-packed. And I feel like all the cutscenes that are happening is just, like, high-value explosions, and you're just running, and there's, like, just oceans of, like, shooting going on, and it's, the pacing is just kind of, like, way better for this remake. And
right.
See, with Titan, it's just, like, what made him so scary?
You mean Tyrant, right?
Tyrant,
you
sorry,
Titan. And
Jesus, Tyrant.
I was worried
apologies.
About you for a minute, then.
So Tyrant, when he is around, the fact that they use the Alien Isolation kind of mechanic of he could just be anywhere and appear at any stage—that's what makes that scarier than Nemesis. Nemesis is in this is it's cued. Everything is just cued. Every cutscene that he appears, it's just all cued. But I was in for it. Like Chris, I tell you, his introduction is brilliant.
Yes,
like
phenomenal.
It is brilliant how he is like brought into the game. I think the opening of the game is very well done, and I think every time I had a boss battle, I could probably say it was the most fun I've had since forward boss battles in a Resi game. Like I think it's done pretty well. In, because like you know, boss battles are kind of hit and miss when it comes to Resi. It's not, it's not really the be all and end all. But like, it's good in this one. I think the puzzles that exist are very fine. They're not difficult, but they don't waste your time. They don't.
No.
There's no fluff. There's no like, oh god, I have to go through all this again now and go back here. There's one puzzle in particular that kind of does it, but it's still very entertaining, the scene that you're currently in. And I think Jill is excellent in it. I think she's brilliant. Now, I will say the dialogue at the beginning hour. There are two occasions where these two lines get said, and I cannot believe they were let in. Now, I won't say what they are, but like some of the dialogue at the beginning is absolute cat piss. And I was a bit like I don't expect Oscar-winning dialogue here in a Resi game, but you know, in this day and age, did you have to put in that line and then that line? But then it moves on fine. I think...
Oh, I know the line you mean.
Yeah, there is two of them, but...
When you meet Carlos.
Yeah.
And he talks about Nemesis.
That's one, yeah. That's awful, awful. And then he radios her at another stage and says another fucking awful line. And if you've played the demo, that particular line is in the demo as well.
Is it something to do with water?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's...
I think I have heard that one.
After those two lines... You're grand. We're off, and we get into the bits of it. See, the thing is, with Resi 3, the story has always been insanely thin. It is all it's just about getting out. It's just set the events just before 2 and just after. And it is thin. If you want the heavy story, then play 2. There you go. That's your story. But this, people are going around saying, this should be DLC or blah, blah, blah. It's like... Well, it wasn't.
It's the whole Uncharted Lost Legacy thing again. I prefer the game this length. Like, this sort of game is perfect.
I did too.
Like I like the fact that you get to a point again without ruining it. It doesn't drag on at the end. You know when you have a certain fight, it doesn't drag on. It's just done, and I'm happy.
And I
with
tell
that.
You, Chris. the end bit, like as such, what you have to do is so good. It's so just like,
yeah, and it's not particularly hard either. Like I found more challenging than that. It's just the way it's done is just really good.
Yeah, and that's always been the case with it. And I think like there'll be people out there go, oh, you can't say better than the remake of 2. Pfft, no way. I'm like, I fucking think it is. Like, I love the remake of 2, but this made me this existing right now has made me appreciate 3 far more, because 3 would have been a game that I didn't play enough of. And I just think this remake is the right length. It delivers the right pace, the right action. And Nemesis is done very well. And even down to the dodge mechanic that I was asking you about. After an hour or two, I just became fucking Neo with that mechanic, you know. I was just dodging everything. It was brilliant. It really worked out. I think 3 is 100% definitely worth anyone's time. And I stand by it. I just prefer it. And I didn't expect it. Yeah.
No. Before we move on, I wanted to mention I've just started playing the beta of Minecraft Dungeons. And it's kind of what I expected, but in a really good way. So the question I would have loved to have been there, where someone at Mojang sort of went, what do we do next? Like, how do we follow up Minecraft? Do we do Minecraft 2? I think we discussed this actually on the pod many years ago. So Minecraft Dungeons is basically their take on Diablo.
Ooh,
that's what it is.
Oh, brilliant.
it's the sort of isometric angle.
Yeah, yeah.
It's co-op. I think 4 player. I'm not sure. I haven't done that yet. It's definitely co-op, local and online. And there is a story. And you go through and you sort of spec your character out in a way you like. You know, do you want to be a sword character or a bow and arrow? And you know, you get all these buffs and debuffs that you can use. And you get enchantments for your weapons so you can upgrade and the enemies get harder. It's going to be a big hit, I think. It's going to be really popular. People are going to play it because of the Minecraft, but they're actually going to really enjoy it. And the people who... I was talking to Mick again, and he's not into Minecraft, but he loves those kinds of games, Diablo games. And as soon as I told him about this, he was like, oh, this sounds really good. It looks really pretty. It sounds great. And the narration's really sort of fun and very sort of innocent, but, you know, it's just got a lot going for it.
I think even for, it's quite... Is there a date for this?
It's the end... of, I think it's somewhere in May.
I think
actually,
it's
not the end of somewhere in May.
I think it's a very interesting idea, considering, like, as you just brought up there, Mick Noe, who is just solely into shooters and RPGs and stuff like that. He is currently playing Animal Crossing, and he said himself he wouldn't normally play a game like that.
Yeah.
So now Minecraft Dungeons coming along is, as you said, the kind of game, because he likes Diablo a lot. This would be pretty cool to hear what you think about it.
I haven't got an awful lot to say about it because I've only sort of played the first 2 or 3 levels and the beta doesn't seem particularly huge. I just really like it. It's really sort of friendly and also, you know, it doesn't seem overly challenging, but I noticed there are 2 difficulty levels. Once you go through it the first time, you can go through it. It just seems like a really good idea. And if there's a substantial game here, and I know there's some sort of roguelike stuff in there as well, I haven't encountered it yet, but, you know, if there's a substantial game here, I genuinely think this will review very, very well and be very popular among the community. Aside from that, what I've been playing is I started FIFA 20 again, same as Chris, and I've been playing Animal Crossings every day. Chris, I don't know if you've done anything different to those things, but...
No, it's literally been a case of playing FIFA and Animal Crossing.
Yeah, and that's fine. And that's why we brought in... I've called it topics, because there's a few... they're not huge stories, but there's a few things worth chatting about, I think, and the first probably... biggest one is that Sony have shown us the PS5's controller, the DualSense. I'm assuming you guys have seen it.
Yeah, I have.
I'm just going to say it. Looks like it was created in Detroit Become Human.
Yeah. It's a controller. It looks fine.
Yeah. Chris, that is exactly all you need to say. I think it's a controller.
What's your feeling on people discussing? Obviously, the Xbox controller has it's stick, D-pad, then stick. Whereas Sony's obviously D-pad, stick, isn't it? Because I prefer. I think it's more comfortable to have the way the Xbox does it. They're never going to change it, but I think this gives us a glimpse as to what the PS5 is going to look like. Do you not? Because you're not going to release a white controller and then the black console,
not
going to
be black. Yeah, Yeah.
It's going to be white and black, isn't it?
Yeah, if it looks like that, then great. I think it'll look quite pretty. Very Mirror's Edge-y as well.
Okay. Jesus. I mean, I'm trying to sort of stimulate the debate, as it were, but I think the thing is we're all of the same opinion, that as it feels right in the hand.
Yeah.
I think I saw, like, when it got announced, like, everyone talking about this, right? And all I could think of in my head was, this fucking pandemic needs to end and we need to get back outside. Because this is after causing an awful stir. Like, people are just, oh, it's Xbox, ha 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 ha. It's just an Xbox troll again. Oh, did this get made in like, is this the next Overwatch character? Ha ha ha. I'm like, wow. Oh, Jesus Christ. I'm like, okay, look, it looks literally like the PS4 controller, just a bit fatter and maybe a bit more...
It looks a bit more like they borrowed a bit of the Switch Pro controller.
Yeah, it seems like that. Well. The buttons, the top trigger buttons are a bit... They look a bit more risen. Mm.
They look pronounced, yeah. But that could be the image. It looks like USB-C on the back, which is kind of one of the important things for me.
But when you hold a PS4 controller and then hold a PS3 controller, the PS3 controller is just like, whoa, this is...
But it's the same with the Switch and the Wii U, isn't it? You go back to the Wii U and it feels like a sort of a kid's toy. And it's the same with the PS3. It feels so light and wank, quite honestly.
I'd be absolutely amazed if this controller was put in people's hands and they didn't go... Ooh, wow, this feels nice. Do you know what I mean? It's going to probably feel amazing. I just think it's so weird. I don't know what Sony's story is with doing their marketing for this goddamn console. Because
they seem to be putting something out, because this was announced
hours,
not even like an hour and a half before Inside Xbox aired, didn't it?
Yeah.
Did you realise that? So like, it does seem like the companies are doing this. Like, someone's got an announcement and they've announced it. Oh, we're going to talk about this. And then someone's like, oh, well, hey, but look at our things. Okay, we're doing this again, are we, lads? You know what I mean? It does seem like the console wars are raging on, whether they admit it or not.
Yeah.
Let's just jump straight into Inside Xbox. Did anybody watch it for a start?
No.
Oh, okay. Well, I did. I did. So they announced that Gears Tactics has gone gold. It was just a chance for them to promote that. I'm very excited about Gears Tactics because I love XCOM games and I love Gears games. And this being designed for PCs really excites me. They announced something pretty cool. Like, so, you know, obviously Gears is quite known for its executions.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. In this, they are in it, and it looks like it cuts from the isometric to like a Gears game almost and shows you the execution. They announced that actually by doing executions... you will gain more action points, so you can sort of carry on with your onslaught, as it were.
Oh, cool.
I thought that seemed pretty cool, like, rather than just to stick them in there and go, yeah, they're in there. Because a lot of those games, like XCOM, and that show you action shots if you get, like, a good shot. But the fact you'll get an execution and it will actually give you something is kind of an interesting progression of the genre. But that's gone gold. That's out this month, end of the month. Hopefully we'll have a review of that. Journey to the Savage Planet and Football Manager 2020 are coming to Game Pass. Obviously, Football Manager is to Game Pass on PC. Journey to the Savage Planet is DLC as well, which you can find news about on godisageek.com. Journey to the Savage Planet was a decent game. Nice to see it getting a little bit more love. Did you guys play that, or was that just me again?
No, I played that. I played it with you.
Okay. Oh, of course you did. Yeah. Played it together. So, I mean, it's good. Of course we did, Chris. Sorry.
No, it's all right. Do you know what? It's a good game. I know. It's a good game for people to play together. So I think that's great idea to put it on X-Pass. Game Pass. Fucking X-Pass. Yeah. X-Pass.
Yeah. The one thing that I found weird, right, and I think they're going to have to sort this out sooner rather than later. I think they need to sort this out before Series X comes out, right? So they have announcements like that. And they say, and hey, this weekend, the weekend just gone, I think it is, like, hey, Gears 5 is free for Xbox Games with Gold members. And you'll get the Batista, whatever his special move is, the slam. Power bomb, is it?
Yeah.
Yeah. but, like, to me, why is it free for Games with Gold members? Why is Games with Gold still separate to Game Pass?
I don't know.
Why are these things not? I think they need to sort that before Series X comes out. I think they need to, you know, because Game Pass, the game is free anyway. And, like, surely, I mean, I'd love to see the stats, but surely most Xbox users have that now, right? I mean,
well, they did that. You pay for them both, don't you? You not pay for them together
separately. No, that's what I'm saying. Well, is there not? see, this is the thing. We work in the media, and I'm now going, hang on, I'm not sure. Like, I think there's a game, wasn't Game Pass Ultimate, both of them? No, that was PC as well. See, I don't know. This is what I'm saying. I think they need to just make this called Xbox Game Pass, and it includes games. Because, you know, Xbox Live is... Basically, if you have Xbox Live, that gets you games with gold.
Yeah.
That's the two free games a month.
Yeah.
Game Pass is Game Pass. But, like, we were talking about this the other day, is that I think Xbox has actually still got quite a lot of work to do, because, yes, it's very clear their console is more powerful, but right now I play their games on PC.
Mm-hmm.
And I play Switch and PS4 exclusives. Mm. So I really need to see some Halo Infinite. And we will, I'm sure, around summertime. And I really need to see some Forza, whatever. And, what they did show on Inside Xbox was a bit more of Obsidian's Grounded.
I love the kind of Forza game. Whatever.
Well, I don't know whether it will be another Horizon or Forza 8, you know, or something new entirely. Oh, that's the thing. They also showed Forza... What was it called? Street, I think it's called, which is a mobile game that is available on PC and not mobile, but it's coming to mobile. And it's a driving game where you just press a button to corner. Like you have to, it's like a rhythm game. And it's not horrendous, but it's also really not one you shout about in the middle of your stream. I don't know. Obsidian's Grounded is coming to early access or game preview in the summer. It looks all right.
Mm. Not exactly stoked about it. I don't think I've ever said stoked before either. I don't know why.
Oh, I don't think you have. I don't think you have. Are you stoked about Hello Games?
Yeah. No.
Okay, well, they've got like a... do you know one thing? I don't know why. Maybe it's the lockdown. Maybe it's the boredom. Maybe it's the slowly drawing insanity. But they mentioned, like, when they introduced, I forget who it was, but one of the Hello Games team, you know, they introduced them as, hey, and this is the guys who made, best known for No Man's Sky. And I thought, oh, yeah, no, Joe Danger's been forgotten then, has it? Mm. But they're probably right. And they mentioned, and it's a small project inside the studio. It's a passion project. And I thought to myself... when suddenly just a phrase seems out of turn and you think, why? Because to me, shouldn't all be games be passion projects?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
I don't know. But anyway, I think it's called Campfire, their game, isn't it? Mm. And it looked really nice, actually. I will say it did make me really interested in that game. That was Inside Xbox. Obviously, you guys didn't even watch it, so...
Well, after watching the PlayStation thing, I was like, oh, God.
Yeah, burnt.
I was burnt out.
Yeah, no, that's fair. Lego Mario. Lego Mario is coming in August. There you go.
Yes.
Probably. We assume it will be out.
Did it offend you?
What, Lego Mario?
There you go. Like, I think Lego Mario looks kind of cool. Well, as far as Lego is, you know. The only problem is here is that it looks... very basic.
Yeah.
In terms of its building. And I get it. I get it's probably for kids. But the thing about it is, a lot of people our age also play with Lego.
Do they?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Do you think a fucking 4-year-old is going off building a Death Star on his own?
Hey, you never know. Like, no, I know what you mean. Right.
Like, do you know, there is a lot of you. Jeez, if I... And the thing is, I would buy tons of Lego if it wasn't like a case of taking out a fucking loan.
No,
first.
I'm exactly the same. Yeah. I find it one of the most therapeutic things to do.
How much is this then? I didn't see that. Actually.
So there's like three. There's going to be like three sets or three or four sets, and the base set is
it's Labo all over again.
Well, this is always where Lego is, but the base set is going to be about $60 is what I saw. So, and that's like, and the thing is, it's just like. A kind of a Bowser's castle, and it's very simple looking. Do you know what I mean? As opposed to like something humongous and like they should release, and they probably will down the line. But if you're going to release Bowser's castle, fucking release Bowser's castle. Do you know what I mean? A humongous thing, like that. Like, but the thing is, then when you do that, Lego goes up to about €500, and then there's no. 10-year-old coming along with £500, like going, there you go.
No.
So
do you reckon this relationship may lead to a Nintendo Lego game? Which includes all properties. So you can taz around as Kirby and Mushroom through.
See, I don't know in a way. Well, the only thing I could see happening if it was to go forward, is DLC for Super Mario Maker in Lego form.
Yeah.
Because you are already building, pretty much, Mario. So, like, if it's, like, the template of Lego to make it that theme, then maybe that could be the case. But I don't know, for some reason, when I saw the news headlines and this came up, like, Lego Mario, I just instantly thought Lego Star Wars, a Lego Mario game. Like, that's just what I thought before I saw the actual, like, oh, it's actual Lego. So,
I mean, I don't think it's impossible, but it is a totally different division, you know, than the Traveller's Tales games, isn't it? It's not, you know, they've got nothing to do with it.
Like Bowser's, like, the Bowser's Castle expansion set is going to be $100.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. Well, like, it looks kind of more like Duplo than Lego, though, doesn't it?
What's that? But yeah, but what's that other? What's that other? Building kind of
Meccano
for kids. No, that's not for kids.
No, you are thinking of Duplo, where it's like Lego but bigger.
Stickle Bricks.
No, it's a.
Can you remember Stickle Bricks?
Oh, Playmobil. Yeah, yeah. Playmobil.
I don't remember Stickle Bricks.
I think you're thinking of Duplo.
Let me check.
I really
Duplo.
Do. It's like Lego for younger lot.
Duplo. Is that another rapper?
Diplo.
No,
that's Diplo. Oh, he's Diplo. A DJ.
What you're talking about.
It's so
very
good. Lego Diplo. Oh, Duplo, yeah, it does look like Duplo. Oh, that's Lego too. Yeah. Oh, yeah, there you go.
Yeah, 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 it's like younger skewed. You know, it's like for real
have
young.
Have you not seen the Lego movie?
Yeah.
Adam Carroll, have you not seen
that?
Yeah,
yeah.
It's Duplo at the end.
Oh, is that
that's
which one?
That's Duplo.
I don't even
first
remember
one,
that.
The first one when the film's over.
Ah, that's a long time ago.
And then
ago,
the
Chris.
Little girl brings that the Duplo gone in, and to start to play with him. That's all Duplo.
I think to be honest. Oh right. Oh yes. Okay. I'm with you. I for some reason kept when you said that there now, I went. I don't fucking remember Diplo at the end of fucking Lego. Like, where the hell did he come into us?
His song's playing at the end too.
that's interesting. Do you remember Kinects?
Yeah, yeah.
Like, where is those things? Where are these things?
I don't know. They must have been made, but
like, what's wrong? Like, what's the?
I don't know. Lego took over the
like,
world.
Is Meccano even still going?
I don't know, mate. I never played with Meccano. Mm. It was too high tech for me. I just had a big box and Lego.
It's too expensive.
Yeah.
Yeah, you'd fucking take out the drill and everything for that. Like.
It's my dad's workshop.
It was a ferocious racket when I was 8 years old with that thing.
Wow.
7 o'clock in the morning.
I done the Meccano again.
the only other news story this week or topic I was going to discuss is that Apex Legends have like added duos as a permanent thing. And I think I don't know if it's still up at this point, but there's like a time limited weird sort of horde mode where you go on hunts with your friends, but you can still get killed by other people in the world. So I don't know. I don't know if that's any good, but I was thinking, you know, our Patreons, we're looking to play some games together because, hey, what else can you do at the moment? And if you like that kind of thing and want to get involved with it, patreon.com/godisageek, where you can read all about what we do additionally. We do like a swag bag where we give away stuff over the years that's come in the office, but can't really post that right now, so that's on hold. But we do give away codes, so we're going to be doing that. But that's basically a podcast for this week, isn't it, chaps? Really, that's about all we got for you. You know, it's going to be interesting because there's not huge games coming over the next couple of months. You know, there are games still going to be released, but I don't know. We'll see. Like Gears Tactics,
well,
we
could always if people want to ask us some questions, like ideas for podcasts. Anything, you know, if you want to hear anything you want us to do.
Yeah, I mean,
then
you got Trials of Mana, Predator Hunting Grounds, Gears Tactics, Minecraft Dungeons. I mean, Ghost of Tsushima. I don't know that that's going to make it.
No, I know.
June. I don't know that that's going to make it.
Well, look.
We'll see.
At least you can still listen to Diplo.
Yep.
Yeah. Exactly. And play with Lego.
And
so
that's right.
That's the same.
And on that note,
right now.
Thank you, Adam Carroll, for being here.
Thank you.
And thank you, Christopher White.
Pleasure.
And thank you, dear listener, for listening and supporting us just by giving us a like or a listen. We appreciate that. If you do think about it and you're on iTunes listening on your phone and you're sat there eating your sandwich, wash your hands before you do that. But if you are sitting there, you know, just listening away on your AirPods with your iPhone 15 or whatever it is in the future, and you just want to go to iTunes and quickly review us. I know the thing is, not many people use iTunes to listen to podcasts. It's all like, I don't use iTunes, but do, if you could just do us the favour of just reviewing us on iTunes and then delete the app, that's fine. Use whatever podcast app you choose. It'll be super useful and helpful. Helps more people see us. Thank you very much. And we will speak to you next week or whenever you choose to listen. Bye bye for now.